take up the rules and reconvene. Trustee Gass, second Trustee Dart, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're ready. Right. Tracy, do you want to direct us to the goldenrod again?
Yeah, go to the goldenrod first. Mm-hmm. So then you can see it starts on the bottom of page 3, Public Works, and kind of goes to the middle of page 4. So you can see Craig's overall budget is very similar to Brad's, maybe a little bit more, but his increase was $2,558. So there is not a lot of changes in Craig's budget. You can see the percentage changes in there. There's not, like I said, there's just not a lot of changes in there. So if you have questions on that, otherwise, you know, don't even go to the detail or if Craig wants to answer anything. But there isn't, I mean, obviously it's our biggest chunk of the budget. It's almost, it's over $2 million total. There's a lot to it, but overall there have not been a lot of changes to it.
Actually, how'd you get administration to go down 7%? I'm more perplexed by the decreases than the increases.
Don't ask questions, one.
Do what? Sorry.
That's a good question. He had noticed.
An allocation?
I knew it went down. I don't know where it went down. It's just allocation of labor. I mean,
So the workload changed?
No.
Yeah, it shouldn't have really gone down because everyone had a 2%.
Yeah.
And then, unless that someone's allocation changed.
Okay,
I did put the payroll sheets on here just now.
How about, would that be benefit changes, like the reduction for health and dental could be impacting that, depending on, because he has a larger amount in that administration. I mean, it's a bigger number, so that could be what the change is.
I mean, it's a good change, but...
I work off of the budget narrative, if you want to go to that. And I can just give you a few key points as it relates to Public Works.
Behind the golden rod.
Yes, it's the next section. It's
blue.
Blue. I like to work off of that. It helps me to focus on the key things, and I think it's easier for you to see it too. But the engineering is up a little bit. We have a piece of equipment we need to replace. And so that adds a little bit to the engineering because we allocate the cost between the four areas of service. But anyway, that's why the engineering is up a little bit.
Craig, let me just interrupt on that. You guys, the first part of your blue section is actually the utilities, so please page back a couple pages on to find what Craig's talking about. So that's the Public Works narrative. So if you're searching for that,
okay. As it relates to Public Works, the numbers in here... Next year's budget would be $92 less than the 2013 budget. And I'll come back to that because there's probably one minor change we ought to consider. And I'll come back to that. But anyway, we're in essence at the same dollar number as last year for the budget. And our budget to year, what's projected to the end of 2013 looks like will be a little bit less than the budget by $15,000, $16,000, $17,000. What are the changes that are in this budget? Well, one is our state aids drop a little bit this year. They dropped last year. They dropped this year by $38,000. So that has a negative impact because that's on the revenue side. The cost savings, one of the areas of cost savings for this next year is we've reduced the overtime for snow plowing by 200 hours. And that is because of a couple things. One is we're using salt brine, so that cuts our labor cost a bit. We talked about that before, but when we salt brine, either in the afternoon or early evening, it cuts back on the amount of time we have to call people in on overtime for snow plowing. And that saves us some money in salt. So there's $5,000 less budgeted for salt for next year. And it saves us time as far as overtime. So that's where the cost savings is. You know, hopefully that's the experience that we find. When I budget for snow plowing, I budget as a long-term average. I don't try to adjust it up and down every year. I kind of look at what's the average that we run, and 1 year we might be a little below, and the next year might be a little bit above, but I try to budget for the average.
Rate stabilization, right?
There you go. Rate stabilization is what it is, exactly.
And then Mother Nature, she has her way with us.
You know, and 2 years ago, we were way below in snow plowing, and you could see that when you look at those other tables. We were way below in cost and public works. That's because we just didn't have much snow plowing. So, you know, that's what happens. Our recycling is going to be up a couple thousand dollars. The state aid for recycling up $3,000 over last year's budget. Our recyclable materials, that's what we take to the MRF. I have in the budget a $25,000, and that might be a stretch. It might be below that, so it's just not, we're not getting much money for recyclable materials. 2 years ago, we had almost $50,000. Last year, we budgeted for, I think, $35,000. We're not going to hit $35,000 in this year's budget. So I've got next year budgeted $25,000. We're not seeing a rebound even this last month or two in those materials. So, you know, that's probably the best estimate we can make on what we'll get for revenue there.
Is the market still flooded from China?
It's, we sell, or the MRF sells all their products locally.
Okay.
They don't ship anything out anymore. They sell it all locally. It's been kind of the policy to sell locally. Even though a foreign market might be a little better, they prefer to stay local.
And I thought 1 year it went down because of Chinese products coming in.
They quit. Yeah.
Okay.
1 year it was way up because they were buying all over the U.S.,
yeah.
And the next year they quit buying and it was way down. Now, the street repairs at the bottom of the page there, and the next page, milling and overlay, crack sealing. And then there's also street paving, reclaiming in the middle of that next page. Same dollar numbers as last year. Maintain the same maintenance cost budget for street repairs. You can see overtime wages there for snow plowing, $6,000 lower than 2013. I think that's the decrease in overtime. Salt budget at $35,000 instead of $40,000. Street lighting at $210,000. I'm figuring a 2% rate increase for WPS. They've asked for 7.5%. I'm guesstimating that it's going to be a 2% increase. They usually don't get much more than between 1.75% and 3%. So,
what was the 10%? Was that on natural gas?
Yeah. Again, it's an estimate, but we budgeted at $210,000, figuring about a 2% rate increase.
Craig, off the top of your head, do you know what the Met estimate for their?
They were given the same 7.25% that we were. They put 5.1 in their budget.
That's awesome. And you were putting 2.
Yeah, and we're budgeting for 2. And that was one of my comments to them, is why not budget for the what you realistically think it is? And, you know, you can make up for it next year if you have to. You can add a little bit more in and make up for it in the future. But that's what they do.
Hey, Craig, since that street lighting cost is so significant, there's some new technologies with that significantly decreased the usage. I mean, are we incorporating some of those things as we repair things? Or
that's the LED lighting. We have a contract with WPS for street lighting, so we don't own our street lights. But that's common in the area, that most of the smaller communities just contract. We pay about $20 per month per light. The LED technology is a new technology. WPS is just now starting to put LED lighting in. We have okayed them to go ahead with LED lighting as replacement on our lights. So when we have one that needs to be replaced, it'll be LED. What's going to happen is we're paying the same rate per light per month right now, but they're doing a detailed rate evaluation with the Public Service Commission, and they'll set a new rate for the LEDs once they can confirm what that cost will be. The LEDs cost more to put in, but they last for such a long time, but the electrical use is down. I don't know what that rate will be, but I think, you know, I'm guessing that we could be looking at a rate that might be more like $12 to $14 per light once that gets through the process. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the other option is we look at our own lights, but that would be a huge project for us to do that.
How many lights do we have?
$750 or something in that order. And they run $500-$600 a light.
Big deal.
That's a big deal.
So we pay $20 a month per light, just for the light.
Just for the light. Well, it's the maintenance and the electricity and whatnot.
Oh, electricity is included in
that. Yeah, that's included in it. We don't have to do any maintenance other than if we see one out, we just let them know. Mm-hmm. And they change the bulbs every 4 years, that sort of thing.
Is there anything available, you know, Focus on Energy or one of those for either rebates or bulb replacement, or would that go to public service since they own the equipment?
Yeah, it's public service. Yeah. They're the ones that are offering the rebates.
They give the rebates, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. It's a big expense, but it's one of those things that it's going to take some time if we try to look at it and come up with a way to save some money. It'll take some time, especially since they're just getting into the LEDs. But on our new projects, like the bridge on Webster, that'll be LED. There's some lights that have been replaced already that are LED. So anything new we put
all
in will
Riverside.
Be LED. Yeah. That'll be LED. The other item under Public Works is the tipping fee at the landfill goes up 60 cents, but I still think we're going to be at a $150,000 budget. I think that'll be okay. The one item that is a change from when we put this together is we have, and it falls under the yard waste site. And brush handling. We have a lot of brush grinding from our tree collection, and we just finished that in September, and we are already have a big pile. I budgeted $12,000 for it for this year, and we got the bill yesterday at $12,120. Mm-hmm. So we need to budget more money for brush, at least one more day, which would put it at a little over $16,000. And that might be low.
Is purchasing the right kind of equipment to do it on our own, is that just way too costly?
Way too costly. Yeah.
What is that thing called? The tub?
Tub grinder. Grinder.
Tub grinder.
That's how
the
tubby got his name.
I don't know exactly, but I've been told that's a million-dollar piece of equipment, but I don't know that it's really. But it's expensive. Huh? It's expensive.
We should raise some kids with a tubby in the tub grinder. Mm-hmm. It's on the books.
Yeah. We went to.
We should talk about community bonfires too.
Shortly after I started here, we went to grinding once a year instead of twice. We were spending more before grinding spring and fall. By code, we only have to clear the site once a year. So we do it in the fall, just before we go into leaf collection, because we're not doing as much brush collection then, so we can get a few months without collecting much brush and the site's empty. And that cut our cost by 40%. But the volume now is up. This last year we had a large volume, and next year will be a bigger volume. So
I don't see it going smaller.
No. So we probably need to add at least one more day of brush grinding in, which we'll take this minus $92 to probably $4,000 higher than where we are in this budget.
Craig, how are we doing on, for a while we're having a problem with folks from other municipalities using our yard waste site. Are we doing a pretty good job of checking for?
Yeah, I don't think we have much of a problem with that. That's been pretty good. We staff it at the key hours. Somebody could sneak in once in a while because we don't staff it full time, but we staff all the key times, nights, weekends, a couple of the afternoons when it's most busy. So whenever it's the busy periods, we do have staff there.
Yeah, I've always seen Bill down there.
Bill down, yes.
Yeah. I know when Don was here, he said he would watch some of these cars and they'd be turning left off of LeBrun instead of right, and I know we're, and now that it's
same
becoming
with Hoffman,
an expense. Pardon? What's that?
Same thing with Hoffman and Bellevue residents.
Oh, right.
The other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're still checking IDs and things if they don't recognize
Bill knows most of the people.
Yeah.
And he does check. Because once in a while I'll get a phone call from somebody. Why did you check me? He's good.
Character thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't look good.
Do we ever give any consideration to issuing a permit or a parking or a pass to, I mean, you go buy one for $5 and you got to put it in your, you know, in your window and you can come drive in and dump your stuff. And
it could be done.
You could just give it to your friend.
We talked about
from
that.
From Bellevue.
It could be done.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But there's... You have to have it stickered in just like a state park.
Yeah. So it's like that. Okay.
Yeah, but that could be a kind of... I mean, because there is a cost associated with it. And
yeah.
Not every resident uses it, you know, with any frequency. And maybe it's a way to generate some revenue and weed out, you know, people that are coming from other communities.
I don't think we get many people from elsewhere. I know that early on, I know years ago you did, but since the site's been staffed, I think it's been pretty tightly managed. But the other communities don't staff their sites. And
well, I'd
so
go there then.
So they do get people. When you did get outsiders coming in, it was De Pere, because you're right there close by. Mm-hmm. That's what it was De Pere residents. It was closer for them to go there than it was to go anywhere else. But you could use a sticker as a way to generate some revenue. And you could also charge for contract tree companies. You could do something with them because they're all looking for places to put their trees. But you'd have to charge them because the cost of handling that brush is significant. It's not cheap.
Well, and I have friends who cut trees who tell me that we're the best police site, and they were known for curtailing people.
They avoid us.
We spend about $8,000 on that for the year. That's what we spend on having that staffed. And I know that Green Bay spends between $2,000 and $4,000 a year per site to get rid of the trash that gets dropped off there because they don't staff their sites. So they're spending about the equivalent of what we spend, but in trash handling. So,
do we have no clue how many residents use the site on any kind of a regular basis?
It's a lot.
We must.
Very high.
Don't we do sampling?
I don't know that we've actually done any head counts, but it's a busy site. It really is. It's
good information to have, don't you think? I mean, just have a little clicker and every pick some days out of the year and have Bill count the number of people coming.
I've been down there when it's been pretty
busy. I always say the weekends are always busy. Yeah.
It's
well, when I've done Christmas tree pickup, we've had people down there dumping oil, bringing brush, bringing computers. So I've been kind of amazed at what people are bringing.
It's
down
a lot.
There.
I can tell you that on Fridays the site's full. One of the reasons why, even when we run 410s, I've got to have somebody on staff on Friday because they have to go down and clean the site. And it takes them a couple hours to handle all the material. So it's full. And then by Saturday, end of the day, in other words, by Monday morning when we're back on the job, we got to go back down and clean it again. It's full. So it fills up with yard waste and brush and so forth.
What is that idea for a community bonfire? Would that get rid of anything significant?
Well, because we have brush down there that's going to sit all in.
Because, I mean, it could be a community event, and we're getting rid of some stuff that otherwise Tubby'd have to come take care of.
Oh,
and we have community bonfire.
We have EAB in some of the brush, too.
It'd be a big
bring
fire.
Bring your own.
Oh, sure would be.
Yes,
it'd be a big
exactly.
Fire.
The dry stuff. Wow. I'll donate them.
Economic Development Committee
no soy
and
hot dogs
ABA are looking at doing a winter carnival or a winter event this year in January.
Right.
So maybe out at the Mariner has, I guess, shown some interest in maybe hosting it or helping host it. So maybe even with that, we could have a bonfire and, you know, have it somewhere in that area that we could burn up some of the stuff. But,
yeah.
And I don't know if there's
enough fire department will come and control that.
That, you know, I mean, it's wood. It's not like we're burning things that are recyclables or whatever.
No.
But if it's just wood, I would think we'd be okay. But we've got to check on that.
If it's just a bonfire.
Right, yeah.
Our wood piles are big.
Otherwise, our code enforcer will be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's
the
you don't
going to be a giant bonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wood there. That's a big pile.
It could be an exercise for the fire.
There you go.
Lighting a control burn instead of a car.
You don't realize how much wood is there. There's a lot.
Actually, Steve's idea about if it's that much, what about the fire department? They do controlled burns of houses that people are wanting to get
this
rid
is
of.
But this is a, we got big piles. I don't think you
can.
We
have bigger than a house.
Several houses. This is bigger than several houses.
You don't have to burn it all at once.
I'm going down there and looking, yeah.
I want it so big that the space station can see it.
You cannot burn that material on a waste site like that. You can have a bonfire that's a small fire. You can do what you want with that, but not these piles. You can't burn this stuff. It's too big.
You need to get a DNR permit.
Charge it.
Whatever.
There we go.
You can try it.
Okay.
Because we strayed.
I don't know. Any questions about that?
Craig, speaking of brush and leaves, since we went to the leaf collection schedule, have people sort of, I know it's been a couple of years now.
It's working pretty well, I think, yes.
And I've gotten pretty good feedback. Yeah. They appreciate knowing when you're going to come, and so they know kind of. But there's still some folks who haven't seemed to caught on, or they just insist on not wanting to put their leaves on their grass for more than 24 hours, and they're still in the street. I mean, there are streets where they're just lined with. Are we really serious about this? Because if we are, we don't seem to be communicating it.
Serious about not putting it in the streets?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I keep thinking, should we be knocking on, should Mark be sending lots of letters when there's new
software? He does.
But you're talking about, at some times, a lot more than you can, than he can tackle.
Sure.
Until he gets his new software.
In my impression.
Yeah, right.
Hey, his new software.
So we are pretty aggressive about it. People have it out there. They get a letter.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, then we need to be, because otherwise the ones that do pay attention go, why am I paying attention?
Right.
I don't see a lot of people paying attention.
If you it goes in streaks. At certain times it's huge. Yeah. Other times it's not much. But Mark can't cover them all. I mean, you get
but
a ton of. So he covers as many as he can. And Jim does too. When they see them, they tag them. But,
all right.
But there's a lot of them.
What do they do? They send him a letter, but do they also put a sticker on the door?
Well, I think what he does is he goes right to the door and knocks on the door right away to tell them that they've got to get it off, and he tags it. Mm-hmm. And then he sends a letter after that. And then they get their 48 hours, and then Jim is there, and they're gone.
I'm hoping the software will help, because this is something that you can't do 25 a day of. You've got to do, hundreds a day.
With the new software, he can load it on a tablet or a mobile laptop and have it, and he could be just doing house after house after house for stuff like that.
Well, Craig, if I remember right, there's some stormwater implications to that, too.
Yeah,
you're supposed to have it, Mr. because it's a storm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. We had a lot of brush this last week piled in the leaves. Don't normally run into that, but they ran into a lot. So a lot of them got tagged for brush.
Craig, so that I can explain, I was trying to explain this to some residents about the stormwater, and one of them asked a question I didn't know how to answer. I said it was for stormwater, so the stuff doesn't get washed into the street. And he said, strikes me, there are going to be leaves in the street anyway, right?
But not
leaves are more likely to go down the street if they're just sort of loose leaves laying around, rather than if they're in a big pile that's been rained on and they're all kind of matted down. So. Is that right? It made some sense to me that if you got this big pile of leaves, it's just going to stick there if you've got...
But it's not just stormwater. It's a safety issue. It forces kids...
I know, but this was the stormwater issue, and so I didn't know how to...
But remember,
it made sense to me, and I said,
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
But remember that we are sweeping the streets twice a month. So there might be leaves out there, loose ones, but we're sweeping them up twice a month. When you get the large piles, what happens is they blow down the street, and pretty soon you got them all over.
Okay.
So that's what makes it much worse. And when we're during leaf collection, the whole village gets swept as we collect the leaves as well. When you see the baler go down the street and, and the trucks and they're hauling it away, within an hour, we're sweeping the street and it's completely clear.
Yeah.
So, it is, it's just a matter of degree, whether it's some loose leaves or a lot of them, but those piles tend to blow around, they get hit, they move, pretty soon you got leaves all over the street.
Because he was even saying, well, I'll water down my leaves, so they're just a big pile of stuff that's not going to move. It's going to be better than...
After a rainstorm, if you go to the stormwater ponds, you'll see the leaves floating across the top of the pond. They'll go right down and out to the pond.
Or they'll plug up the storm sewer.
Yeah. Or they plug up the storm sewer, yeah.
And then you have problems with that.
Yeah, I think he understood just that, like, but what he was saying was that you're more likely to get storms that, or leaves in the storm sewer if they're just blowing around rather than being in one contained spot, especially if they get wet on top and they just sort of clump together.
One contained spot on his yard. You know? Really?
Right.
You know?
When they're in the road, then they get blown around by the traffic.
Okay.
And then it just makes it much, much worse.
So you can't contain a pile of leaves no matter how hard you try.
No. And it's a safety issue. It's a safety issue.
Craig, I've got two questions. I've watched the baler today. And this is the new baler.
Are you bored?
Sick of watching the grass grow.
The baler was in my neighborhood, and then I also saw it on Libel Street. And it seems like it's messier now than it used to be. There's these tines that rotate on the front of the baler as it attempts to
sweep them in.
Whereas in the old machine kind of went over the top and hovered over the leaf pile. And I don't remember that there was a mechanism that was trying to sweep the leaves in.
There was. Same thing.
Was there?
Same thing.
So am I just imagining that?
Yeah, it's better now than it was before.
It is better now?
Yes, it's much better.
Okay.
And the big reason is this is a tandem axle machine. So as this rides down the street, it does not tip when it drops a bale. It has the load capacity, because these bales are 1,500 pounds each. And then in the single-axle baler, every time it would drop the bale, the machine would tip up, and then the leaves that are in there would go right out through and come out the back. And so you'd have every bale, you'd have a pile of leaves and another pile of leaves. The sweeper has to come through and pick up all the leaves, because there's no other way to pick them up. We can't back up and pick them up. This one doesn't do that, so we're actually... It's more efficient at picking up the leaves, but you're still going to have the stuff scattered around because those tines are intended to kick all the leaves up into it, but it's not, you know, it's not going to get them all.
Then the loader was following close behind with the bucket on the road to pick up the excess. They were picking up. They were trying to...
Oh.
That was without the cloth. They were just trying to skim the excess, and then they would pick up the bale. But it just seemed like it was a little more.
Well, and the other thing is, keep in mind that's the first 2 days of operation. We've had some problems in tuning it, so it's only run a couple hours, and then it's back in the shop. So we're only there's not enough leaves to really go all day. So we're just kind of getting started.
Okay.
The first day they had problems with the knotter, with the feeding, and they got that squared away, and they got to tune it. Every year you got to tune it a little bit.
It looked like the sweeper was not able to pick up what the baler left on the ground. That was just my observation. So maybe they're adjusting that. And then my second question is, There's one account that you said we needed to increase that occurred after the sheets were printed. Can you go back to that? And was it about $4,000 increase?
It is the where are we here?
You said the recyclables, was it?
It's
there's the brush cutting on, right?
Oh, tubby.
Mm-hmm. It is under, it's the tub grinder. It's,
what page?
Where am I
looking?
23. Is it under tree and brush control?
Yeah, it's under brush. I just got to find where brush is. I don't see it.
Oh, contracted services, tree and brush control.
Yep.
10-16-533-22290.
21.
Page 21.
Page 21.
Second account from the bottom for $12,500.
Yep.
So that should be 16,500?
Yeah, it really should be.
And then if we if we've got to handle the extra ash, the extra ash trees,
yeah,
do we need to add in
more?
A little more than that, even?
Yeah.
How much does it cost to rent the tub grinder?
It's about $4,000 a day.
And how long will it take to do the extra ash with more ash trees?
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I would...
Why, our EAB fund under...
I would say what he has there right now is one day.
Who, Brad?
Yeah. But by next fall, it'll be 2 days, probably.
So
if we had to factor in what Brad needs, the 2 days, plus what you need additionally, it's going to be more than 16,500, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll
didn't
be more than...
Brad
add
it
another 8,000 for this. It'd be 25.
Brad already put it in hand?
Yeah, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
What's so in? It's
yeah,
in
Brad put 2,000, though, didn't he? Wasn't it $2,000?
So there's a $200 setup charge, and then $550 per hour, and I know it's only like...
You said a half day, right?
Yeah, a half day, so it's got to be more than $2,000.
So he underestimated, Craig?
Well, it depends on the size of the pile. I don't know. There's two things that come into play here. The size of your pile is one thing, okay? And we usually have a pretty good sized pile. It takes 3 days to grind it. But then you got all those big logs out there. And when you want to grind those big logs, that takes a long time. And there is a pile of logs out there that are logs that they cut. We didn't grind them because we can't get them in a machine. They're too big.
I thought Brad said Habitat for Humanity was taking those and making wood out of them.
Not those logs out there.
Not those.
Those are all, you know, big stuff stumps.
Okay.
They take the saw logs. But this is the discards.
Did Brad increase that in
fuel? I was just wondering, does anyone remember?
Would residents want those for flooding?
Or $3,000 to $8,500?
You mean as
wood?
Mm-hmm.
No, firewood. No. Too big. Too big.
Too big to split?
Yeah, way too big. Way too big.
We have 5,000 in EAB on the second page, on page 29. It's $5,000.
Don't mess around.
Second
that's big stuff.
On page 29.
And we can't throw it into the tub grinder. It's too big. You got to cut them into small pieces if you want to put them in the tub grinder. Because one of those big logs, 6 foot, 8 foot long, will take at least an hour to go through the grinder. And at the cost of this, you can't grind them for us.
Why don't we let residents in to cut firewood?
That's what I just asked. He said they wouldn't want them.
No.
Why not?
It's too big.
They burn, right?
It's too big.
How big?
But we
how
cut them, right?
That's too big.
We cut them, right? We cut them to get into the grinder?
Yeah, we have to
cut them. So if we cut them and then let residents take them, would that be too big for them then?
It's too big. The stuff's too big.
There's people who make tabletops and everything else out of those.
This is big stuff. And it's knotty.
They call that burl and charge you more money for it. I mean, seriously.
I don't know. I guess
we've been good at finding a market for some other things. I wonder if...
I would say if you want to do that, work that out with Brad, because we don't deal with those.
Okay.
We just deal with the brush off of the street.
Yeah.
And we
well,
do
I mean,
get
maybe
some
we can do
pieces.
Both. I mean,
mm-hmm.
We'll put some out, and if people take it, great.
But
if people want it, come get it.
For the that we don't
Berlin or firewood, no.
Yeah,
yeah but we're trying to keep the people from going out and cutting on the piles and stuff because it's not safe.
Right. You got a liability issue.
Yeah, you
got
a liability issue. Let people in there. So we don't let people into our brush piles with chainsaws or anything. We don't want to do that. If you want to deal with wood and make it for residents, you got to put it somewhere where it's cut up and where they don't have to...
They just cart it off.
They can pick it up and take it or whatever, but...
Now, why do we have any more liability than Green Bay who lets people in brush piles all the time?
Well, do they?
Yes, they do. I have been in them.
I don't know.
If there's no one there, how do they not let people
brush
piles?
Exactly. So it's like, why... That one up by the wildlife sanctuary, there's people in those all the time.
And animals.
But remember, though...
No.
The brush that's out there, the logs that are out there are big. We don't have residents that have saws big enough for that stuff. Those are big stuff.
Yeah, for those huge ones, though, I'm not wondering if there's not a market for those. I mean, there's people who will come take those and make tabletops out of them and all kinds of other things. Like, I'm finding those people.
Google.
Craigslist.
How big of chunks do you cut them up into so that you can get them into the tub grinder?
Like that. They got to be 2 foot pieces or 3 foot pieces.
They can't
be
long, right?
I'm going
right?
down there.
They
like,
really?
Well, they can be big and round.
Oh, they can be big and round.
They can be big and round, but they can't be real long. Because it's a chipper. So it has to roll and hit the blades, chip it. A big log, you hit a corner, you hit a corner, you hit a corner, it goes on forever. Small logs, start hitting it and chew it up much quicker.
Yep.
That's how it works. 4,000.
And you're saying that even after you cut them into 2 foot sections, it's 2 feet long, and they might be this wide, that they're just too wide for residents to even, unless they're going to make something.
You need a long chainsaw.
I cut firewood.
Craig needs an additional.
My brothers and I, we cut firewood for camp and everything. We couldn't tackle that stuff.
Yeah.
It's too big.
Right.
We couldn't tackle it. And we've got
equipment.
Good equipment. I mean, we can't tackle that stuff.
I thought you were cutting them into, if the thing were this big around, you were cutting them into six-inch segments, which is something you could handle with it.
It's okay.
So, Craig, that line item should be increased from 12.5 to 16.5?
I would say so, yeah.
And that will cover both years of the...
No, Brad's is in his budget.
He's got some in
his...
And he, for his black ash, that should be in his budget because he's managing that, so that makes sense.
Greg, does that take one of your staff people to pick it up, to pick up the brush and put it in the machine?
Two of them? Yep, we have two loaders running when we do the brush. It eats the material that fast.
So Toby just brings his equipment, he doesn't even do anything?
No, it's a semi. It's a big setup. He runs a crane that feeds it.
Okay.
So he's continually feeding it. It drops into a conveyor that he brings. And then we have two loaders. One is pushing brush over where he can reach it, and the other one is piling all the grindings up into a separate pile. Move it and pile it up.
I think we should all do a little tour of that next time that comes around.
Does Willems take that stuff?
They do.
And they pay to take it away. I mean, we just come and get it, right?
Well, let me comment on that because it's something to be aware of. We talked about this before, running a compost facility, getting a licensing that site for composting or some other use, you know, that type of stuff. We have a real problem right now because we have brush and then we have baled leaves. We lost our big source, the farmer that took the baled leaves, because the fellow passed away last week and they're going to sell his farm. And he was going to take 1,500 bales from us. So we're scrambling to have a place to go with our bales. Because if we have to dispose of them at the quarry, we pay $25 a truckload to dispose of them, and that's a lot of money. But the other part of that equation is the quarry is going to be done with its restoration in a year or two, and we won't be able to go there anymore. So Jim has been all over the countryside, and he's lined up some other farmers, and so we're hauling to other farmers. And the haul distance is greater, so now all of our staff is out on leaf collection because we have to run three trucks to haul now to get the leaves. We don't want to double handle. If we double handle, it costs us another $25,000 to $30,000 to do that. So we direct haul from the baler to a farmer, and that saves us money.
I remember when we did that.
It really works good, but we have to haul farther. We're going out 13 to 15 miles now to a farm. They'll take it, but we have to factor in an extra truck in order to keep the schedule tight.
Have we done anything on FreeCycle? If you come and get it, are you interested?
Well, the compost or the wood grindings, we've got three or four landscape companies that will take it. Some of it we can sell, some of it we have to give away. Willems is the biggest one, but there are others. So it's a constant link up with these guys, truck some of it out, take bales, try to keep it moving out as fast as we can so we don't have to store it. And it's That's part of what makes it so busy right now, because it's a struggle to find a place to go to. Fortunately, we've got, I think, three farmers right now that have barns that are going to put the bales in, and that keeps them out of the weather, so they stay dry, so they like them. We're doing a couple of experiments with farmers. It's for bedding for cattle. We're running a couple of experiments where we're mixing sawdust and leaves in certain mixtures to test it, and it's working out pretty well. So we're trying to create a market, at least to keep our costs down.
Sleep number bed for cows.
We
how much sawdust do you
pretty plush.
The sheep are
to give you an idea. To give you an
try
idea,
it sometimes.
The compost or the grindings we put there for residents, and they take it. They love it. But we do have to haul a lot of it out because there's such a volume. And it takes us 2 solid weeks of hauling to get it out of there. For bales, the 1,500 pound bales, we do about 1,400 bales. Think about how many that is. We can put 8 in a truck. That gives you an idea how many bales of leaves we haul out of here in the fall. It's huge. Hmm. So,
Craig, and then with regard to garbage collection, it's again been over a year that we did this with the frequency with which we pick up recycling.
Yeah.
And that was a change for folks. People seem to have accommodated to the new system, and I haven't heard anything.
Nope, working fine.
Not even from the spouses of trustees have I heard anything.
No.
It seems to be working, right?
Once in a while, we get somebody that calls up and says, you didn't pick my can. Well, they didn't get it out in time. We just go pick it.
Right, but as far as you don't,
but other than that, that's
enough.
That's all. And once in a while, somebody wants a bigger can or wants 2 cans, they'll buy one. But it's sporadic. It's working well.
I'm starting to throw, because last time I was here, he said basically
throw everything
in there. I'm doing it.
Yep.
I kept both of my recycling bins, but I'm full by the time they come, but yeah, I'm managing that. I'm not sure how other people are.
We're budgeting for the full cost of the equipment charges for garbage collection, which was a goal we set, that we were going to get that up to where it belongs, because we were always underfunding it. We're at the full cost, and our recycling cost has been coming down, so we're very efficient on the recycling. That's worked out good. And we run that routine where, during recycling week, one operator runs a garbage truck for 4 hours and then a recycling truck for 4 hours. He doesn't go to the landfill. He doesn't go to the MRF. Somebody else does that, so we get maximum hours on the vehicle and keep our productivity up. And that's working. That's working very well.
And do we take all the recycling to the place on Broadway?
Yeah.
And then I was wondering about the sticker program. I thought the stickers might be a little bit bigger, but does that seem to be working to remind people they can't park on the street when there's garbage day?
Yeah. Once in a while, somebody calls
and
says
it. Very well.
No. They curl up and fall off.
Yeah, they do.
Well, it met the goals of the program. But we did expect it would stay on better than it did. And we may have to redo it. We may have to redo it at some point. But it met the goals of our stormwater management program that we implemented it.
Whether it's effective or not, ultimately.
People know about it. I mean, it works. People know about it.
They talk about it.
They do. And then
that was on purpose, by design, that they didn't stick so that it creates some buzz, huh?
We get a lot of calls from people saying, can I have permission to leave my car on the road today because I can't get it in my driveway? You'd be surprised how many of those call in.
Really?
Take track of them.
That's good.
No. That's exactly what we want. Craig, for your whole, all the departments, total overtime for the year, I don't think there's a total anyway, is it? It's all separated out for program?
Yeah, no, it's all by program.
So how's your memory? What's your guesstimate of total overtime for the year versus average?
You said from memory, so I'll go from memory. I think 3-4 years ago we were at 1,400 hours total, and I think we're pretty close to about 1,000 hours total for the year now.
Overtime.
For everything, all the departments.
So it's gone down a little bit over.
Yeah. I believe that's pretty close to where
we are. Reduced staff, haven't we?
Pardon?
We've reduced staff.
Yeah.
We only have fewer people working, and they're still working less overtime. Mm-hmm. So
which area has the highest? The snow?
Snowing, by far. Absolutely, by far. And then
it's hard to plan for.
Number two would be the water utility because the water main breaks.
You never know what's coming.
Yeah. Well, that should decrease, too. Right? The more we take care of the water system, that should decrease.
Yeah, it's...
That was true back when Ben Franklin had it.
There's efficiencies that you pick up over time as you continue to look at things and you can improve. It's just it's a continuous improvement process. There might be a small item we can improve on. It saves us a couple hours. It might be a big item. It saves us $10,000. You know, it adds up over time. It makes a big difference.
Craig, how long are we doing leaf collection?
We just started.
We
just started last Wednesday, Thursday with loose leaves. We started with the baler this week. We'll go right up to Thanksgiving, but the leaves are going to be dropping late this year, so we're going to be probably pushing about December 10th before we get done, which is going to hurt our budget a little bit.
Well, because it's not going to snow until February 1st, so we'll be all right.
Yeah. Thank you.
It'll give Paul plenty of time to watch the baler.
Can I comment?
Well, what's even worse than that? I mean, Lynn goes to other people's yard waste sites and rummages around.
Yeah, there you go. So,
we got to get lives, people.
Strange group we are.
Yeah. I am taking pictures of sidewalks in Paris.
Really?
There was this one wasn't any wider than I am, next to like this 4-lane road and a tree. And Ryan's like, "You want a picture of this?" I'm like, "Yes."
You don't walk a lot.
Yeah, Riverside Drive. That's our new.
Yeah, that's what we get. 2-inch sidewalks.
I think the next item in that list was the equipment fund, and there really isn't much to say about it. It's almost a carbon copy of last year, except the fire and rescue are out of it, which brings down the dollars a little bit. I'm looking at my mirror.
Is that your summary?
Yeah, I'm looking at my summary.
What page are you on your summary? Otherwise, the equipment.
They're unnumbered.
Oh, yeah.
Craig, nice job on the budget.
Fourth page in.
Craig, nice job on the budget. I mean, with that big of a budget, you come in that close to last year, and that's pretty impressive.
Sometimes you're good, sometimes you're lucky. We're just lucky, that's all. But the equipment fund is very, very similar to before. If you recall, we do budget for some outside contracted services for major repairs. We've not spent that money each year. We've spent some of it, but not all of it. But that does really help us out because when we're short-handed, we can get some repairs done by truck equipment or somebody else, and it keeps us going. Snow plowing is when that really happens. That's when we get bogged down and we need the extra help.
Craig, it makes sense that engineering costs would go up since all the work that we're doing. Can you remind me what we do in-house and what we tend to hire out for?
Well,
I know we do as much in-house as we can. I just don't remember exactly what that is.
What's in the budget overall for contracting out in the operating budget, okay? Not the capital budget, but in the operating budget. What's in there is in the engineering department, there's $7,500 for outside contracted engineering services. That is for miscellaneous things. Sometimes we have to do a land survey and things like that. So that's for that part. When it's engineering related, there's $7,500 in there. There's $10,000 in the storm or in the sanitary utility, wastewater utility. There's $10,000 in there. And I might as well talk about that because the compliance, maintenance, operations, and management requirement now, the CMOM, I mentioned this a couple times in the past, is now formally in our permit. So that $10,000 is going to go to hiring a consulting engineer to work with us a bit on implementing a CMOM program. They're not going to do the program for us, but we're going to bring in somebody that specializes in it so we do a good job. And over the next couple of years, we'll have our CMOM program up and running.
Can you explain that program? I don't remember what the program is.
It's a real...
CMAR
is what you're familiar with? The annual report, which is that report we fill out, and you guys certify that we did everything we said in it.
Yeah.
This is the documented report with the formal records of the televising, the inspections, the repairs, a planning document, capacity analysis of the system, and on and on and on. It's a formal management program that you have to have all these pieces in your program.
You have to have them in your
program. And it's a mandatory thing. It's now in our permit.
Okay.
So in the sanitary utility, that money is going to go to help us with that. In the water utility, there's professional services. A small amount of that is engineering, but the hydro designs cross-connection program is in there. The audit, annual audit fees are in there. And if we do a rate review, then there's costs in there for the Public Service Commission. So there's money there, and that's dedicated to those. Stormwater has had more engineering dollars in it because we had the stormwater plan and the pond projects. It's reduced now because we're not going to take on any major projects the next year or two.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some money in there because of the Riverside Drive project. We're going to have to do a little more stormwater engineering in support of that, just to help get that to where we want it to be on the stormwater side.
Does the state have to contribute?
No, this is our part of.
What does the state have to do with their part? Are they responsible for their own?
Well, remember, they're going to put in the stormwater treatment systems.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get a capital charge for that. But this is our engineering part of it for planning, so that we get the capacities we need, because a lot of it's our system.
Okay, for our water.
For our water, uh-huh. Yeah. So that's there so we can get to where we want to be with that part of the management program. That's what we contract out for in the operating budget. Now, when we go to our capital projects, we do contract out for the surveying because we don't have the survey equipment and the manpower to do the surveys, the field survey of the roads. It's all done by satellite survey nowadays. It's very efficient, but it's very expensive equipment, and we can't justify doing that. But we do contract out for the survey work, and then we do the design. We do the plans, we bid, we manage the project. Between Jeff, who spends at least half of his time managing the projects, and Dave Sellison and another water utility guy do inspection. And then the other thing that we do on the big projects is we will go hire an inspector to supplement our guys because we don't have enough manpower to be on the job all the time. So that's what we contract out, the surveying. If it's a bigger job like the last project, the $5 million project, we had one field inspector full-time on the job that we contracted with to work for us. And there's a few odds and ends. The soils testing we have to contract out because that's a specialty thing. So we do about 70% of all the engineering on the big projects, maybe 75. The rest of it is supplemented by surveying and soil testing and maybe an inspector.
So the design part of it is the majority of the...
Yeah. On the $7 million that we spent on our two big projects, we did about $500,000 worth of engineering, our staff. If we would have gone out and hired, we'd have spent that much for that services. So we did one more street by doing it ourselves. Well, keeps everybody very busy, but that's what we do.
With the overall street repairs, not sewer and water, but just surface, I know there's lots of streets out there that could use some attention. Are we adding any in, or would it be prudent to add anything in this year? Or are we just going to kind of go with what we've got?
Well, remember we got a $3.75 million project that we're going to commission. So there's several streets. And then there's our maintenance budget. And we're going to pave a couple streets with that. And if our bids come in better on the $3.75 million, which I think they will, we have those alternate streets that we'll pave. So we'll do as much as we can on the alternate streets. Could we do more? Yeah, we could, because there's a need. There's several smaller blocks of streets that are in terrible shape that we could pave if we had the money to pave them. There's a section of Ducharme. The Hilltop, Hilltop Way, and Somerset, they're alternates. They should be done if we had the extra money. If we have enough money, we'll do them.
So they're kind of in the priority list?
They're, you know, we just keep working down the priority list. But, yeah, there are some streets we could do, and we are going to... Let me talk about that just a little bit more. We brainstormed on that just a couple days ago. I asked the guys, what would you do if you had some extra money? And the consensus was we'd put some money into another one or two sanitary sewers and streets that really are in bad shape that we know we got to get to, mm-hmm. but we don't have enough money to get to them right now. One or two streets for sanitary sewer. And there's a street or two that need... paving and curb and gutter, they would be the other priority. So we'd split it between two. We would do some sewer, we'd do some paving.
And these are things that aren't in the alternate street plan.
They're not in the alternate.
Above and beyond.
No, they're above and beyond.
So you think the costs are going to come in a little bit lower than you had budgeted for. How far down the alternate list do you think that you'd get if you had to guess?
If I had to guess, I would say we might be able to do two of those streets.
Out of the four.
We might be able to do two. I'm hoping that we can do two out of the four.
And what's the cost for the two that you wouldn't do?
Well, I should have brought that along.
I can check on my public agenda. Would it be in?
It would be that three or four pages that we had when we took that to board about a month ago. It would be in there. Yeah, it would be in the public works from October. I think we had about $65,000 for Wabanor. We had about $100,000 for Somerset. We had about $200,000 for Hilltop. I think that's roughly what the numbers were. And then there was one more street in there yet.
I think I got that.
Thank you. Is that the priority order that you just mentioned? Wabanor would be first.
Yeah.
Is that the one for alternate bids?
Yeah, would be that.
Wabanor, Somerset, yeah. Hilltop, way, and Ducharme.
Yeah, we have Ducharme on here. I mentioned that before. That's a small section. That's paving. The utilities are okay. We could pave it and leave it go for 20 years or more and then do the utilities. That was $50,000. Hilltop and Hilltop Way, paving only $165,000. Somerset is $200,000 and Wabanor was $200,000. And those are good numbers. We actually sat down and went through the details to look at it to see what it would cost. And that includes some curb work and things like that.
So what's the total cost for all four? And you think you could get halfway through that if things work out the way you plan?
Four or five, about $600,000 there. So I'm hoping we can do $300,000.
So for another three, you can finish all the alternate.
For about $300.
Yeah.
In the budget, Craig, there's the mill and overlay line item, and then there's that reclaimed pavement item.
Right.
Can you explain those, the difference in those two?
I'll explain the difference, but I'm just following the budget format. I just take the total dollars and use the total dollars.
Okay. So
because that's how I do it. But the mill and overlay is our maintenance. Where if a street rates about a 7 in a Payser rating, or maybe a 6, in other words, it's got cracking and it's decaying, but if I would mill it and put a 1-inch overlay on it, it'll be good for another 15-plus years. That's what the mill and overlay is. We're doing the same thing that we actually learned this from DePere. DePere has a good maintenance program on their streets, and we looked at what they do. And that's when we went to the mill and overlay. When I started here, we went to that. So we try to spend half of our money on overlays where we can spiff up the street, fix some curb, and have a nice street that's good for 15 to 20 years. When they go beyond a 6 on a Payser, in other words, down to a 5 or a 4, you can't do an overlay anymore. It won't hold up. So that's the reclaim. And all reclaiming is we mill it right down all 3.5 inches of asphalt, regrade it, and then put down another three, new 3.5 inches of asphalt or 4 inches of asphalt.
Okay, so there's 225,000
right,
in those two line items.
Right.
That's what page is that from?
That is in the blue sheets.
Oh.
In the blue sheets, page 3.
The narrative, okay.
And so, Craig, that's different. That is separate. Oh, I'm sorry, it's page 2
yeah.
of the narrative. That's different than those four alternate streets.
Yes. It is.
Those
because that 225 is our annual maintenance that we do every year. We go out and take care of other streets.
125,000.
What?
125?
225. If you add the two together, it should be 225.
Yeah. So then this paving only Wabener, paving only Somerset, that is not addressed
right.
in these two
right.
line items.
Right. Now, think of it this way. At some point in the future, and actually this is going to start coming into play within the next 5 or 6 years, what you're going to want to do is do mill and overlay as a routine thing and keep your streets up. And you got to budget enough money to do mill and overlay to keep the quality up there. Because mm-hmm. we're fixing the streets now, and the utilities are going to be good for 75 to 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just do the milling and you keep your roadbed in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. That's what that's for. And we're doing all the other streets that are good enough that we can keep them up while we're trying to fix the ones that really have to be reconstructed. We're doing that balancing act. But you're going to get to the point where it's going to be all overlay or primarily overlay.
That's what I see DePere doing.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah. And to do that, one of the questions... We talked about this before, is how much money do you have to do that? You need $500,000 a year.
Okay.
At some point in the future, you need $500,000 a year to keep the overlay program where you keep your streets in great shape.
It's money well spent, though, right?
It's money well spent, yeah. Because you'll never have this where you got to go spend $10 million again. You'll avoid that. You won't have that again in one big project.
What happens to the infrastructure after 75 years? I mean, I just assume that PVC just sort of went on forever.
Well, it will. But you got manholes that need to be repaired. There'll be valves that'll have to be replaced and things like that.
Okay.
You know,
and we won't be worrying about it.
You won't be worrying.
I'll
no.
be here.
No,
you're right. A little short.
That's kind of the long term thing. How that would work.
75 years old. 95 years old.
You asked. I'm sure you'll be about.
I'll still be 39.
Again.
So 300,000 to do the two remaining streets on the alternate list, if everything goes well.
Yeah. And we have to be a little conservative when we do these budgets and costing these streets out, because if the bids come in at or above what we think, and we borrowed money for it, we got to have enough money. So that's why that works out that way. We got to be a little conservative. We've been pretty good on our numbers. We've been able to. We've done well in our bids. We've done very well in our bids.
Are you still getting good? It seems like
yes.
every time you come in for a
very
with
good.
A, with, a, with quotes, they're really competitive.
And we'll get good prices when we bid this work. We will.
But you know, eventually that will change.
Eventually it's going to change.
Take advantage of what we can.
Yeah.
Any other general fund, right, that you need to go through?
No. No, that's
capital equipment you want to jump to, or
sure.
do you want to go to utilities? Or?
Let's talk about the capital just briefly.
Not a lot of them, but...
Well...
You need a
help I just want to make sure I was talking about the same thing. Not capital in the sense of equipment, but
43.
That's is that fund 48 you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's when you're thinking.
On page 43.
Those are basically what that is. It's kind of hard to explain the number itself. Basically, what that is that $3.75 million project. The street portion, curb and gutter, street, the paving, the road subbase, if there's sidewalks or anything like that, that is in Fund 48. Okay. Those numbers go into there because that's on the tax levy. So the 800 and some thousand dollars is the...
Page 43.
Is curb gutter...
No,
reconstruction.
That's on the next page.
Oh, that's did it cut off
really
weird?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I couldn't change it for the life of me. Huh. I really tried for longer than I should have.
And then were you thinking we'd get free curb and gutter or what?
Well, no, it's just interesting to me. It all comes out of very different spots.
So... You know, on the second page, page 44, where it says expenditures, and you see street reconstruction, the $824,000, and then the curb and gutter $468,000, and the sidewalk $72,000. Mm-hmm. Those are the dollars in the budget for that capital project for next year. Well, a Huffman Road, all the different clay, all of them are into this for the street portion. And then the sanitary sewer goes into the sanitary sewer fund, the water goes into the water fund, and the storm goes into the storm fund. So whatever those costs are, they get allocated to those utilities as part of their debt service. But that's what that is. Those numbers are the $3.75 million capital project. I don't have the breakdown by street here, but that's the total.
I'm missing something. Why are there blanks under projected and budgeted 2013? I don't understand that.
Because we weren't doing any that was already spent. Well, I didn't go to this one and do a projection to year end on this. I don't know why the curb and gutter isn't in there, because there was some under the budget for 2013. Obviously,
on the next page.
Obviously, those numbers aren't right. Those numbers right there are not right.
Oh, okay.
Which numbers are not right?
There's nothing under budget 2013 listed here. There should be, but it's not. And I don't know why. Because obviously we had the capital projects.
It tied out to last year's budget, though.
Yeah.
Everything I tie in.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not even sure what to add. I don't get it. What?
This doesn't really. It doesn't really have any significance for your budget approval, if you will, because this is the capital.
Yeah.
It'll be debt service. Yeah. It'll show up in the future as debt service. This is just the record of where the capital will be spent. That's what it is.
Okay. I'd still like to understand it at some point.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure.
The trail outlay, or trail improvements, is that the village's share? Less the DNR and the reg gift and all that?
No, that's the total. That was a total to be spent, including funds that are coming from the state aids, our match, and the donations.
I wrote down the other night during Brad's $1,042,000 for all three trails. I'm not sure where I got that from.
Well, that's, what if I added in that $98,000?
So in this case, 703 less those other things.
Was he talking about this for this year?
Well, for budgeted for next year, $703,000.
Right, but when Brad was mentioning, when he was here the other night?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was talking about just for next year? Just for 2014?
$1,042,000. That's what I wrote down.
That's for all three projects. Total cost.
Okay. Yeah, Sunset, Cross River, and East River Trails.
Yeah, because Sunset would be about 100,000. I think the Webster one is 200 and some thousand, and then East River is one, just one. Over one, somewhere over one, I think, total. So that would be
well, and then the expenditure all they budgeted for 2013, that just carried over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we didn't do it this year because of all the things that were relaxed that we ran into.
Okay.
No.
Before we go to the utilities,
sure.
Do you have a supplemental request list?
No.
So what we just talked about, like these alternate bids, that would be kind of your priority of supplemental requests.
Yeah. That'd be the highest priority. Yeah. And then to back to your question about the capital in Fund 48, when you go to the yellow sheets here, which like sewage treatment fund, which is page 14, there's the main and the laterals that goes hand in hand with what's in Fund 48 for the street. And then when you go to page 15, you'll see the services and the mains and the hydrants. That's part of that capital project, but that's where it gets allocated to the water utility.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it's broken up. So we would expect to spend for next year, for example, on page 14 under the sewage treatment services. If you look at laterals and it says Clay, Wabanar, Hastings reconstruction project, there's $214,370 for laterals. That's what we estimate the expenditure to be for laterals for those streets for the reconstruction. Huffman Road would have $19,650 for laterals. So that's kind of where these numbers go. That's why we were kind of busy and wrapped up trying to figure all these numbers out as part of the budget, because we're trying to do the capital project, come up with all the cost estimates, do all the allocations, and hopefully get it pretty accurate.
While you're in the gold area, why don't you go back to page 17? That would be the capital or the equipment replacement fund purchases.
Yep.
You know, Brad had the three costs down below, and then Craig has the two.
More expensive items.
Of course. Better toys,
yeah. Craig, can you remind us quickly about the garbage? I know you did some painting and some stripping up, and you extended the life of those things.
We have two on order. They're supposed to be here any day. And we talked about the idea that where it says Street Department number 98 replaced the 2004 Peterbilt garbage truck, that's the third one. So if we go ahead, remember what we talked about, we purchased two with an option to buy a third, because we bid it with a third. So if we decide to place that order for the third truck before the end of the year, this is the price, $238,000. We're going to take these trucks, and that's something we got to talk about how we're going to do it, but I think we'll put the two trucks or the three trucks on the market for bid. We're figuring to get $25,000 a truck. So our purchase price of that third truck will be $213,000, which is a pretty good deal when you think about it, because it's about a $300,000 vehicle, and we're getting it down to close to $200,000. But we are selling a used truck.
And it's the last model with the Cummins engine, so you got to order now. Right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Of course.
Well, no, it's a maintenance thing with the garbage trucks.
And it includes
this will cut our maintenance cost. The other one on here is number 29, replacing a plow truck.
How does this cut maintenance costs? I mean, for the trucks.
We have a lot of maintenance on the garbage trucks.
Right.
A lot.
What tends to go wrong on the garbage truck?
Hydraulics.
For the...
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. You know, they're basically 10 years old, and they... There's always a garbage truck in the garage being repaired. No, there's always one in there. It's a good thing we have four, because we... keep three running.
We did paint them, right?
Yeah, we painted them in rust.
Which is a good idea, but people always think we have new equipment because it looks good. You're going to tell them it's not new, it's got a fresh coat of paint on it. No.
Better to make them look old so they don't think we're fun.
Yeah, that's right. Sell our old garbage trucks to ourselves.
The problem with it when we let them get old is then those parts fall in the road. And we had that happen.
Just toss them in the back.
But that's the third garbage truck. So that's in here as a capital for 2014. If we go ahead and order it this year, that would be its cost. Number 29, we are getting in. That's a 2000 Peterbilt. That's a big plow truck. We are at the point now where that'll be 14 years old now. We're at the point where we have to start replacing some of the big trucks. So this is the first one. And we can. And this is the one that needs the highest priority for replacement. And we're figuring that the net cost is going to be about $140,000.
So you get about $25,000 whether you're talking about a $238,000 piece of equipment or a $165,000 piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Well, a plow truck is
garbage truck
more useful than a garbage truck
it
to
is.
Most people.
The market for the garbage trucks, there's not that many.
Yeah.
There's just not that many companies.
Yeah.
That's going to want a used garbage truck.
See, that garbage truck.
You've got to be creative.
I think that's what we're doing here, really, to be honest with you. If we traded it, it's worth $15,000. I'm not going to give away a garbage truck for $15,000. That's giving it away. That's why we spiffed them up. We actually have haulers calling us asking about when these are going to be available.
Oh, really?
And I'm hoping we do better than $25,000 on it. Now, why do they buy them? Because they're expanding their fleets. If they can get 2 years out of them, they're happy. And they might buy it for $25,000 to $40,000, but they can get a couple years out of it, and they're happy with that.
Huh.
So, you know, that's the idea. If make them look better, and they are, you know, we keep them up there. They run. Hopefully we can get a decent price for them.
In the equipment replacement fund, do we do it by the individual pieces, like number 98, that's the number of the garbage truck, and when it's used and then you expense it out, do we do that? Like, what would we have in the equipment replacement fund for number 98?
I guess the way it works is you write down your hours on that piece of equipment, which translates into a charge.
How much gets charged, yeah.
Which goes into an account, so several pieces of equipment will go into one account.
Oh, so it's not individualized. So you can't really tell if you got your numbers out of it?
Well, here's the calculations. One of the things that we did a few years ago, this was done on the depreciation basis originally. Mm-hmm. And I went back and did it on an equipment basis, and I figured out what the cost would be when we would buy it. Yeah, we talked about it before. So here's 98, 2004 Peterbilt garbage truck. We paid $159,218 for it when we bought it.
Uh-huh.
I had forecasted we had to have $235,000 in the fund to buy it when we replaced it. And where are we at here? $238,000 is the bid price we have on it. We had forecasted $235,000.
So your amount, you're expensing them out each.
Yeah.
It should be good.
It's covered. It's covered. Pretty lucky, I guess. Again.
Okay. Any other questions on the replacement fund? Otherwise, we can move on to the utilities. That's where we're at, and Craig, you've given me a new sheet. I don't know if you want copies for everybody.
I do.
Okay. Oh, they're not the blue ones anymore?
It's revised a little bit.
Uh-oh.
The mat?
No.
I'm not sure what ends up changing that.
No, while I'm digging it out here, let me explain. With the final numbers in the storm utility, it changed the bottom line just a little bit. So I just changed the bottom line numbers. Everything else on this is the same as what you already have, but it's when we get to the stormwater utility, it's a little.
That's page 2, right, of your narrative.
I got a bunch of that. Let's just take the. There's some more coming around.
Blue or orange? Wait, I can't.
Let's just go down the list of what we have on this page. The water utility for 2013, it looks like we're going to finish about $250,000, $227,000 plus or minus, which is a little over, it's a 6.5% rate of return. If that proves to be the case, that's our PSC approved rate of return. That's what we should be getting. Well, that was the forecast. I'm sorry. That's what we forecasted. Our actual is going to be about $179,000, about 5.3% rate of return. The reason it's down is that water sales are down this year. We're not quite up to the projection that we were going to be at for water sales. 2014, I'm forecasting about a $200,000 revenue, 5.8% rate of return. Realistically, we tend to run a little bit below our estimate, so we might be a little less than our than the $200,000 rate of return. Our water sales are down a little bit, same as it is across the, all the authority members. With a $200,000 or close to $200,000 net income, we don't need to go for a rate increase. And I noted in here we probably are going to have to look at 2015 for doing a formal rate review. Because the Water Authority will be adjusting rates. They'll be refinancing the debt. There's a capital project that comes forward at that point in time. And we will have some costs associated with the water meter project. So those costs will get folded into it. And one of the things that happens with a rate case is you have to be incurring the expenses rather than planning for the expenses. So we have to start incurring some of the debt service, and then we can adjust the rate. Mm-hmm. So on the water utility side, I think we're okay where we are, and we'll just keep going.
And with that PSC review, we're going to go for commercials paying
yes,
away.
Yes, the additional 4%.
Another thing that Craig mentioned the other day, remember when you're talking about the fire hydrant charges that are in the budget at that $276,000, and our talk about looking at putting it out a little bit, and Clara mentioned we could do a resolution and potentially then be able to use that even if we change it. One thing Craig had mentioned that didn't come up then is if we do that, we would have to go to the PSC permission to do that, because you can only make one change, which you already did when we put the other amount on. So the 2015 would work well for both of those reasons. If there's a desire to move that, then we'd be doing the rate survey or rate study or whatever you call it, and then we could include that in there at the time if that's what we decide to do. So,
so you only can do it once? I didn't know that when we did it the first time. I wouldn't have done anything differently, but so without the approval of the PSC, you only can do it.
You can only do it once. The first move you can do simply by a letter request.
Oh.
You have to request that they will approve it.
Oh, okay.
But the second time has to be through a rate review.
Can we pass a resolution that says we may, as part of our rate review, you know, move some or all of the remaining? I mean, kind of a, we may do it, just in case they change the legislation to say you can't do it any longer. I don't know, if that'd be probably be more of a question for Dennis. But
yeah, we can check into that and see what
I mean, at least it preserves flexibility.
Right, exactly.
In the case we need to put something, because if the legislation changes, just says you can't.
That was the whole issue that we were discussing last time.
I'm not suggesting that we do, but I'm just suggesting if there's
we reserve the option
to create the flexibility to get past any potential legislation that bars us from doing it. My guess is it probably wouldn't work, because you're kind of saying maybe if we want to in the future.
And we have to do it again the next
no matter
year,
what you say, because we passed a resolution that says maybe.
We beat you to it.
I'm guessing that probably wouldn't
if
work.
If you made the request and they put it on hold, you didn't follow through on it. You made the request, but you didn't follow through on it. You took a long time to follow through on it. That might hold. I don't know.
Yeah, we should explore that with Dennis or somebody. Okay. At least, that's a huge amount of money. You know, at least to create some flexibility if we need it for something.
The big item in the water utility from a cost standpoint for this next year, well, the water meter project obviously is a big cost, but aside from that, I noted in here, we have to refurbish Reservoir 3. We didn't do it in 2013 when it should have been done. We got an extension on it that will be refurbished this next year. Drained, cleaned, painted, sandblasted. coatings applied, structural steel replaced, and a variety of things. It's about a $35,000 cost. And that's in the capital budget.
Where is that, Craig?
Reservoir 3?
Yeah.
That's at AZ2, our flow meter station. That's the big underground tank there.
Yeah. Yeah, where is that located? What street?
It's on the Vandehye.
Vandehye.
The
house. Oh, what's there? It's one of those things. It needs to be refurbished. It's an older tank. It needs to be refurbished.
How much does it hold?
A million gallons. See, you have to, when you have underground reservoirs, you have to maintain them, and every 5 years you got to do a complete inspection. And the DNR actually comes and looks at it too. So you got to seal up leaks, take care of rust, you name it. You got to maintain them. Most of ours are in good shape. This one needs some work. So.
A million gallons. What is it made of?
What is it made of? Well,
tank made of?
There's some crack sealing that has to be done, and then we're going to coat the interior.
What is the original tank made out
concrete.
Of? It's concrete.
Concrete. With steel interior structural members.
Okay.
So that stuff's going to all get painted.
I'd love to see that.
The inside of that building, you could eat off the floor. It's the cleanest building I've ever seen. It's incredible. I used to sled as a child.
Oh, yeah.
It's from the top of that reservoir down the hill.
It was a lot bigger, though, back then, wasn't it? That hill was huge back then.
That was your street, Steve.
Yeah.
That hill was like 50 feet high back then.
Someone flattened it out.
We've done a lot of work on that building piece by piece, but it needed it. It was in very poor shape. And now it's in very good condition. For an older building, it's kind of completely refurbished. And really, we didn't spend a lot of money on it. We really didn't.
Have you seen the tank?
Yeah.
I've never seen the tank.
The incoming infrastructure from the from Manitowoc is in
right. That's the main.
Right. When we do this refurbishing, what we'll do is we'll let you know we'll plan it, and we'll have it open after work, so you can all come and take
a
look
great.
At it, and you can see the tank and everything, and because it's worthwhile for you to see it. It's
where you can really see a tank is the Green Avenue.
I've been in that tank. That tank's neat.
It's an old one?
Yeah, I'd like to see that one.
I still think that'd be a neat place with a bunch of skylights on the top. And
We could have bonfire.
We have a bonfire on top of it.
There you go. All right.
The sand, does anybody have any questions on the water?
So water would be no increase this year.
No increase. I think we're in good shape there. And Dave Vaklovic's going to be here Tuesday night for the board meeting. And he's going to give you an overview of what's going on with the Water Authority. Touch on the four different things that are going on, just so you hear it from him, because I think it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Sanitary utility, if you look at these numbers, this is the one that's the shocker. You can see Green Bay Met charges are going from $1.4 million to $1.6 million for 2014. Now, the $1.596 million, that number is going to get tweaked just a little bit because they haven't come back with the final budget. It might be $10,000 or $15,000 lower than what I show here, but it's not much. So there might be a few dollars difference there. This was the preliminary. The final hasn't come out yet.
I'm assuming they approved the budget.
Yeah. They lowered it just a little bit.
And that's all said and done now.
Well, it's pretty much cast in stone. Now, last year we increased the rate to cover the sanitary sewer in Whitney and Betty. Remember, because we found it was in bad shape.
Yeah.
We had to do something.
Yeah.
And Paul had the good idea of let's just budget for that and get it done one shot, and it was done. Because we did that, our rate increase is only going to be about a little over 5% because we already did half of it. So it does ease the pain this year.
We're expecting something similar next year.
Yeah. On the top of
we won't have any pain easing next year.
We won't have any pain easing next year. No.
We're talking about 13%. 13% per year for the next 5 years.
The next 2 years after this one. 2015, 2016.
Then what?
Then it's supposed to level off.
It should.
That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a change, Craig?
No, it's always been 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is the third year of the five. 2014 is the third year of the five.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Like time flies.
So if you turn to the back side of that sheet up on the top, I'm that this year it looks like we're going to generate about $260,000 in income, 11% rate of return, which is higher than what we budgeted for. Yeah. And I have here, because we underestimated the revenue. Must be what we did, because I wrote it, but I don't remember writing it, but I think that's what it was. But here's the Green Bay Met will be charging us a fixed charge for $265,000 of that $1.6 million, because they need to do that as part of their rate borrowing, or their borrowing for their project. They have to have a fixed charge in order to get good borrowing rates.
But it comes off the 1.6.
Yeah, it comes off of the 1.6. And that's what we've been doing for years. We have a fixed charge to cover our debt service. What I'm suggesting here that we do, that's $4 per customer per month on a fixed charge, that $265,000. That we take that $4 and put it on our fixed charge. Our fixed charge goes from $7 to $11. But then we drop the volume rate from 5.25 down to about $4.75. Our volume rate goes down, but our fixed charge goes up. The theory behind the fixed charge is that you're paying your debt service and you're getting the payment every month, and you're not relying on flow, weather conditions, and other things to cover a fixed debt charge.
Right.
And that's the theory behind it. And that's why Green Bay Met is going to it. And I think, from our standpoint, if we would take it and put it on, take their fixed charge, put it on our volume charge, now we're taking risk. Why not just do it as a fixed charge? Because the cost of the customer is going to be the same anyway. So if we did this, our rate would be $11 per month for the average residential customer for the fixed charge, with a volume charge of $4.75, which is $32.38 a month from $30.58. So it's about $1.50 it goes up. And we don't have much flex in this, because that's pretty much what's dictated to us. And what when we went to Green Bay Met, you try to put it in perspective for them. We're paying them $1.6 million. Our total operating cost is $2.6 million, of which $550,000 of our cost is our debt service and our debt service principal and interest on our capital projects to fix our sewer system, and only $450,000 is what it costs us to run our system. So we pay them $1.6 million for sewage treatment, but our actual operating cost is only $450,000 that we spend to run our sewer system.
And we still have to design something to educate residents as to how this works, and we ask them to help us do that. They're the experts, including their board of commissioners, and they need to equip us with something to explain to residents as to why this is happening.
Yeah. And in Public Works, on their utility bill, we voted to put a line in there regarding what the Met charges are, because right now people just see it lumped as sewer utility,
right. And
they don't know what's coming from where. So this way we'll split it out, and hopefully if people are looking at their bills, it's going to trigger a what's this.
But they might still call us, and we need something to give them that explains it very simply. And we need the commissioner's contact information in case they want to talk about why this is with someone who made the decision to do it.
Well, the average cost increase per resident end of the day is how much?
It will be 5.5%. That's what the cost of increase would be, the increase for our customers for 2014.
And last year was considerably higher.
Last year was over, I think it was 10%.
We almost cheated by every resident in the village and outhouse and just cut everything off with the Met entirely.
I don't like this any more than anyone else. But I think water is still pretty cheap in this area relative to some places in the country. I think we do, especially the quality of the water that we get. You look in Colorado, places where they don't have access to water, and they're just...
When
when we discussed that line item in Public Works, really to be straight on this, we should have two fixed line items, I think. If we're going to attribute a certain amount to the MET.
To there and then us,
and
our debt service.
So that we're really up front and we don't lump it all and put it all on the MET.
Right.
No, the
math
is on the
MET. Right. But right now we have that one. We have one line item that's the fixed charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now we will have two fixed charges, and we'll identify what amount it's going to be more than $4 that we're allocating to the MET line item. It's going to be. We've got to take some of our seven and allocate it to the MET.
I've been thinking about that, and I'm not sure how we can put the volume part of the Green Bay MET charge on that bill. It'd be easy to put the fixed charge, but the volume charge, I'm not sure how we would do that.
Because that's going to vary.
It's not a fixed charge.
It's not a fixed charge.
It's volume.
Yeah, but we could put volume on there for water.
We can put another line item on the card, because we have a space where we can write on there, and we could say the GBMSD charge is 60% of your total sewer bill. I mean, we can do that.
Why can't we do volume, though? Because this is the whole reason the pool people don't want to be charged sewer for what they take for water, because their sewer bill volume is based on their water bill volume.
Well, we probably can if we can modify the program to do it.
The software?
But I'm not sure. I think we'd have to modify the program to do it, you know. The volume charge.
It might just be simple enough to do fix us, fix them, and then give them the variable charge, and then an asterisk that says 60% of this variable charge.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, that'd be too difficult to break it out, you know, by bill.
And it can say no volume above but water, because I don't think a lot of people really realize that their sewer bills are based on their water usage.
What will the fixed GBMSD number look like that?
It'll be $4.
So the remaining seven is all village cost? It is.
Yeah.
It is. Okay.
Because we're rich.
And that's predominantly capital for pipeline.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful we don't list that as NEW water, because that's going to be very confusing.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be GBMSD.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. We're not supporting their new brand, then.
That's right. We're not recognizing their new brand. That's right.
Yeah.
So the first seven for the fixed charge is ours, and then we're adding four for theirs to take care of their debt service. That can be printed on the bill.
Yep.
The variable charge we can't, but we can give them the cost for the volume, and then an asterisk saying 60. So what program would we have to modify? Are you talking about the software that does that prints?
If you were going to break the volume out to two volume charges, I think we'd have to modify the software. To do the fixed charge.
Why is that a huge calculation? If we can give them the volume charge and then an asterisk that said 60% of this is, why can't we just add something to the program that takes the volume charge and multiplies it out by
60%?
Right, and I don't understand.
I think we just have to check with the software company and see what we can do and what we can't do.
Yeah.
And then if we could do it, we certainly will, but we just have to check now that we've gotten there yet. So if that's what your desire is, we'll certainly check into it and see.
It makes most sense to me that I think what Paul was saying is you're going to have four different pieces of data, the fixed charge for each of us and the volume charge for each of us.
I mean, the fixed charge, I think, is easy to do. It is a software revision, but I think it's easy to do. But the volume charge would be a little more complicated.
I guess my
now, that's where I'm not understanding, because all you're doing is multiplying a few numbers. I mean, that's, to me, the hard part is getting it to report and print the way that you want it, not necessarily getting a computer to take one number and multiply it by 0.6.
I forget that some of the things we're running are fairly antiquated.
Not very old.
This
is pretty new.
A couple years, 4 years ago?
Who does this?
Oh,
about 4 years
Tyler
old,
Tyler
Technologies. Tyler Technologies.
So it is one of our newer software.
It's the new package.
It's a new
software. Yeah.
What is it called?
Tyler.
N-code.
Tyler Encode. It was two companies that merged. It's now Tyler Encode.
And what's the name of the software, though?
Encode by Tyler Technologies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. We can see what, you know, maybe it can be done pretty easy. We'll see. Anyway, that's the sanitary utility. That's kind of where we're at. There's nothing else in there that's new this year or anything other than we have to start the CMOM program. That's the one thing we have to do. We have to get that going.
Just real quick, back to that fixed charge. If we do publish this as $4 each month, and then we provide contact information for the commissioners, will the commissioners dispute that $4 charge?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, how can they dispute it? It's what they're passing on.
I don't know. They never say anything. They don't say anything.
Well, we're taking the $7. That's what we're saying. That's the village's cost fixed charge. We're up front on that, and we're putting the $4 on them. Is that fair?
No, they won't dispute it. I don't believe it. The reason I was smiling at that is because we have made the point to them that when they talk $12 per customer is their cost to a residential customer, that was not correct.
That was based on Green Bay averages, and, right?
Well, yeah, and it was based on wastewater flow.
All right.
We don't bill on wastewater flow, we bill on water flow, and so do all the other customers bill on water flow, but they don't run a water utility, so they don't bill that way, and that wasn't apparent to them. So the cost is really double from what they were telling people. It's really double for us because our wastewater flow is twice our water flow, and so it was double. So that's where that came from. That's why they just said, we're not going to contest it. Whatever right. you say it is, what it is, because that was the reason.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom said that more than once. I think he said that when he was here. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Like those exact words.
I really like this idea because next year, subsequent years, we'll put that additional fixed rate right on the bill. It'll be an easy percentage to see.
And they're going to increase the fixed charge every year.
Cover the debt service.
Well, we could alert the commissioners, couldn't we? Tell them ahead of time, starting January 1st, we're doing this. So if you get some calls, this is our rationale.
Sure.
That way, at least they can say, well, we, you know, blah, blah, blah.
We've already told them that this was the direction. I've already said to them, this is the direction that I'm going to recommend to our board. But, yeah, we need to be more formal about it so that it's clear. Yeah.
They haven't made our request to put their contact information on their website yet, so
they're working on it.
People might have to hunt them down.
Well, they agreed to put staff on. They agreed to do that now. So they're going to list, they're going to show their staff and what their position is and give them a phone number. They agreed to do that.
How would you guys like it if we put your phone numbers on the website?
Mine is on the website.
But only yours.
Yes.
You got a problem, go see Craig and forget about the board, the trustees.
Yeah. they know the number. They do know the number. I get 3 or 4 of those calls every day. And that's where they got it from. But that's part of the deal. Stormwater?
Sure. That's absolutely.
I changed the bottom number here, the last paragraph, because when I developed this memo off of the data wasn't quite done yet with all of the cost numbers, and I had a slight loss projected with no rate change. This gives, with the adjustments here, gives us a slight income, about $12,000, forecast an income of about $12,000 for 2014. But, you know, we've talked about the idea of raising the rate to $7.50, and we put it off a couple of years. We really do need to operate this utility with at least some positive income. And if we raise it to $7.50, we're going to be about $50,000 in income, and that's where we really ought to be, at least as a minimum. But if you look a little higher up, 2012, we had a loss of $37,000 in the utility per the audit report. For 2013, it looks to me like we're going to have a loss of about $22,000. So while we have a reasonable cash balance in the fund, we can't afford to keep losing. We got to keep that positive and maybe growing a little bit, because there's debt service that has to be paid there and so forth. So that's my recommendation. We make that $750. We should be good with that for a while. We shouldn't have to adjust it after that, but we got to be where we're enough positive that we keep generating a balance in our fund.
Once we can quit building ponds, can we decrease that? I mean, what are we looking at for long-term maintenance for residents? Where's that headed?
The only ponds that we'll be looking at constructing here in the next 5 years would be Riverside, whatever goes into Riverside. That would be it.
There's no room.
There is. And the interchanges.
I thought the interchanges were the state's reservoirs.
Well, they're going to build them and dedicate them to us.
Okay.
That's in the agreement that we have with them.
So we will get. Isn't it a lot simpler since the states require us to do it? Why don't they just keep their own land and put their own pond in?
Thank you.
Well, but a big part of the capacity is allocated to our residential areas. So.
Okay, so we're only paying for our residential areas.
We are paying for it. They're going to build them as part of the project, and we will take them over and maintain them.
Okay, what I'm getting at is this ERU rate, once we get done outlaying capital and we're just into maintenance, how's that going to affect the ERU? Are we going to be able to come down with just maintenance, or, I mean, long-term for the residents? Because we're looking long-term.
I would have to look at it. I don't know offhand. But I would say that the $750 is a reasonable rate compared to where other people are. Because right now it's $10 a month. But we started earlier, so we've been able to get ahead of the ball game.
Yeah.
Well, but eventually the rate should come down.
Maintenance has got to be cheaper,
but not until the debt service. Right.
I mean, I understand your question. I don't know what the answer would be without trying to figure it out.
Okay.
I mean, you're right. Theoretically, we should be able to decrease it at some point in time because the debt service will be paid off.
Well, I just know residents are looking long term. Because we're talking about long term with the Met and other things, and it.
Except
if they start asking with this one long term, you know.
So let me qualify that, because you're thinking of just the ponds.
Well, I know it's a moving target.
It's the storm sewers that are the bigger cost than it is the ponds.
Okay.
So it's the debt service on the storm sewers. That's the bigger part of the cost.
Okay.
Because the ponds, remember.
Well,
we
got flashing storm sewers.
When we did the Kiwanis and the Huffman Road, we spent about $300,000 to do a $1 million project. Because of the ARRA grants and the other things that we get, the non-point source pollution program from the DNR. So it cost us about 30% of the cost of building those projects. So the debt service on the ponds is a smaller part of our total debt. It's storm sewer.
Is that PVC as well?
Yeah. So, you know, in the thumbnail sketch, that's what the stormwater utility looks like. And
Paul?
Greg, I realize these are the enterprise funds,
yes.
Utility funds. Is there any way that we can cushion that or absorb that with the operating budget? Can we, is there some part of the stormwater that we could cover that $37,000 or the $33,000 that we could put in our budget? Because I hate to hit the ratepayers with the sanitary and the storm now.
Yeah, I know.
Is there something we could call?
To be honest with you, on the water utility, I probably underestimated a couple of the costs in there. Our hydrant maintenance and painting. There's a couple costs in there. I think I underestimated a little bit. And I think that I'm underestimating a little bit some of the stormwater costs.
Some of those stormwater costs are the allocation of employees' hours.
Yes.
From the water department? From Public Works?
Public Works.
From Public Works Department?
Yeah, from Public Works.
And we can't cover those in the operating budget?
So that we don't have to charge them for the utility?
So we don't have to
You'd have to reallocate some costs. Yeah, you'd have to reallocate some costs. $37,000 is a fairly large number for that utility. That's a fairly large number.
So, Paul, are you thinking that we're finding ways to kind of, we're thinking of projects that we might want to engage in on the operating side of it because we have, 4% to work with, but right. On the utility side, is there any way to sort of shift some of that 4% to take care of this so that we're not...
Right. We're not talking a lot of money here.
Right.
And does there have to be a wall in between there because it's a utility fund where we could allocate some of the either the employee costs or the equipment charges, not so much to stormwater. If we change an allocation of an equipment charge, maybe we can transfer that to the operating budget.
Does the PSC allow stuff like that?
Well, PSC doesn't regulate storm.
Oh, it doesn't regulate storm.
No.
There would be a concern, though, on, and clearly you can answer this, you're taking something that's a general fund budget and paying for a utility budget. Like, in the future, if you don't have that ability to put general fund money into the utility, are we going to end up increasing the utility to cover for the amount that we maybe would not be able to shift in the future? That's my only concern on that.
But it's a timing thing. I think you'd feel more comfortable, Paul, if it wasn't both things at the same time.
The sanitary and the storm. With both of those.
Although the sanitary is going to keep going up, but
if the sanitary
levels off after a few years, and then you kind of hit them with the storm stuff, then you'd be more comfortable.
Well, I'm just wondering if with simply changing a percentage. Right now, Craig's dealing with these percentages. He's allocating 42% of that particular piece of equipment to stormwater, and then the rest is spreading out the costs, someplace else. Is there a formula change that we could take it out of operating as we have the opportunity to do it this year?
Even if it's a percent or two for multiple pieces of equipment, you might be able to get to the $36,000.
Is that a fund balance?
So what are the equipment charges?
What's their cash balance?
How much?
Yeah.
I mean, because I know we've done it before. We just said, look, this one time we're not going to make
fund
a contribution to the equipment.
So that's like
theoretically that's
$58,000.
Where is it?
$58,000.
Yeah. We've done that before. We haven't. Tidy up a bit of the budget. So
what is the number?
Like that big of a
number.
Randy, what are you suggesting?
That maybe to fix Paul's problem. it's a good observation. It's a good observation.
Yeah.
But what I was suggesting is maybe rather than using operating income, we just decrease on a one-time basis equipment charges that are being assessed against the stormwater.
They have to be assessed somewhere, though, right?
Just this year in the budget, we're not going to charge $37,000 that we would otherwise. Whatever.
Or you take wages or something.
But don't you have to? You have to charge the equipment somewhere, right?
You don't have to.
We reduce the charges.
We've done that before.
This isn't the fund balance in the fund. This isn't the cash balance in the fund, right?
Fund balance.
For an accounting purpose, don't you want to charge it somewhere? Though? You're using the equipment. It's got to
come out
of somewhere.
What we did was reduce the equipment charges a couple times.
So that's all there is.
So that there was less.
Were there coupons involved or what?
No. I think we did that
a couple years in a row.
We did it in the general fund.
Yep.
Yeah, when we needed to, make up some cash, we just look for this to make up this difference. We're just going to decrease the equipment.
So in essence, you're
shortchanging
taking money out of the general fund by just not.
No, you wouldn't take any. I mean, if there's equipment charges in storm,
then you wouldn't be putting them in Fund 71 equipment replacement, so you wouldn't have money to replace the equipment.
Right.
There's a segregated equipment replacement fund, or is it part of this big umbrella with everything? All under the same.
He said it was under everything.
Everything's
right?
in it, but then you allocate different costs to different some to the utilities, because maybe you use it in the utilities and that goes back to the equipment replacement.
If you wanted to do a one-time thing, here's what I would suggest you look at. Contracted services, our storm sewer repairs. If you put $30,000 of that into the general fund rather than into the storm utility for the year, that would give you your whatever number you want to have in there. That would give you your $30,000. It would come out of the general fund and not just out of public works rather than out of the storm water.
You have like $650,000, Craig, for repairs, contracted service repairs.
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that would be.
But
the
this isn't a one-time thing.
No,
we're
going to
have the same problem
yeah.
next year.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Always.
For the next 3 years, we're going to have the same problem with
bills.
Sanitary going up.
That's the problem. If you're going to be short, you're going to, whether it's this year or next year, you're going to be short.
So if we come to the solution,
we
should be comfortable doing it for 3 years.
Would it be bigger
assuming
each year then to cover up?
To extend that.
Yeah, but like Craig's thing, Craig, didn't you suggest that if we made this one-time adjustment, that we'd be good for a little bit of time?
With the
in the storm.
With the 50-cent rate increase, I think we're in good shape. It's not the rate of return you should have in the utility, but it's a positive rate of return, and we'll still be continuing to add to our net cash position or whatever, net position, whatever you want to call it.
So that would raise the average increase of all the water bill to 6%?
Well, it's 50 cents.
Yeah,
the bill right now is $7, and a residential bill at $7 would become $7.50. But if you were going to take a number and move a number, I would say that contracted service is the one to move. Because we're not losing out on equipment charges, we're not affecting the labor, it's simply some capital expenditures over here are now coming out of over here for a year.
Can you do that?
But that doesn't deal with the long term.
Pay for utilities in the general fund?
For the
sewer. I'd be reluctant. That just seems like mixing apples
or
and
Peter.
I think if we do have a little money left over, because we have clear that gap to get to zero or close to zero. I mean, there's other more worthy projects that we have to bond for, and we got interest charges, and I think the residents wind up paying more that way. Because if we can use cash that we have to pay for some projects that we otherwise have to borrow for, then we avoid the interest charge. I think that's probably a better expenditure, and it doesn't mix apples and oranges between general fund and utilities. They should stand alone.
The $50,000 for the contracted services repairs, those are contractors that come in to do repairs to That's different than the cleaning that we do.
Right.
That's actually contracts that are let for particular jobs.
Yep. We usually replace between 10 and 15 storm inlets. They collapse. We got old inlets, they collapse. We have a backlog of those that we need to do. So we usually can fill up whatever money we have with fixing inlets. We once in a while run into a collapsed storm sewer, we have to go in and do a repair. That falls into that. And sometimes we have a segment of storm sewer that needs to be replaced, and we do it under the contracted services.
And aren't some of those are depressed manholes, too, where the stacks
some of it is that, where we raise a manhole, replace a manhole, yeah.
Let's check
the score of the Red Sox game.
Let's scrap that.
4-0. Red Sox.
It isn't a number that we could cut. We're short already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If I could get more money for it, I would take more money for it because we have the repairs that need to be done.
Mm-hmm. And then those repairs, okay. We can't just put those off for a year.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Jeff would be mad at me if I did that.
$750,000 you said is going to last us a little while. Do you have any idea what a little while means?
With the rate?
Yeah. If we went to 750.
We are going to, I assume the debt service for Heritage Hill is in the forecast here in the future years. The next expenditure that we're going to have will be in 2017 for some storm sewers on Riverside Drive. That's the next thing that will have to be done because that's in advance of the reconstruction of Riverside Drive. I do have the number. I can't remember what it was, but it's probably $300,000 to $400,000 worth of work, and maybe it's less than that. That'll be debt service that'll go into this. That'll be the next item that would be an increase. So that's probably in the range of $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 a year for debt service. I don't know, somewhere in that area.
And when do we start? When does the debt service run out on the oldest borrowing that we've done for storm water?
What year?
Yes.
We refunded next year's our last payment on that, 2014.
Next year's our last payment on that?
Yeah, and then after that, 2019.
For the second borrowing?
Yeah.
So won't that have some impact on how much we have to borrow in 2017? But in 2014, we're stopping payment on the... We no longer have to.
Yeah, if we accumulate enough that we don't have to take out debt.
Because 2014, we will drop off some debt, but then
we'll
you just
drop
said
off the one that 2004 that was refunded with a 2006 borrowing.
Refinanced.
Yeah,
so that's going to be done in 2014.
How much is that drop?
Your 2014 payment is $135,000. And then there's nothing after for that one. And then the 2000 looks like that one just shifted. If you refunded it with the 2006 one, that stays low up until 2019, then that jumps. Because you have $5,000 to $10,000 payments on that one up until 2019, then that one jumps up to $155,000.
The one drops off. $135,000 drops off
in 2014.
At the end of 2014.
Yes.
And then how much did you say the other one increases?
It says it was refinanced with the 2006. The 2006 one doesn't increase till 2019, and then it goes from $10,000 of a principal payment to $155,000.
Well, so for 2015, that utility is going to show a profit of what? About $95,000 a year.
Well, if I'm looking at your total principal payments, in 2014, that's $171,000, all principal payments. 2015, $161,000. So it goes down by $10,000.
Storm utility, this is segregated? Storm,
yes,
storm only
principal on your debt.
Principal on the debt?
Yes.
Okay, but we need interest.
Principal and interest. So. Well, for your rates, you need both. So principal and interest.
Well, what is our interest? What is our interest paying? We're okay. The 2014 is we're going to retire a note in 2014.
Yes, because it was refinanced in 2006. I don't know what the terms of that refinancing were, but it made it end in 2014 and then kick up in 2019.
It's ending in 2014,
yes.
And we would no longer be making a payment of $135,000 per year 2015, per year 2015, okay. That's dropping off.
Yes.
So the principal.
But you have more than just that debt issue, too. I mean, maybe it would help to look at it because you have all these issues. So, I mean, you have all these different payments each year. So you can't just say one drops up and nothing replaces it.
Is that all storm?
Yes. If you want to see that.
I didn't know they were structured. The payments go up at the end? For principal payments?
Well, a thought for you. We don't have to finalize what we're going to do tonight because the rate doesn't go until January. And remember what we've done in the past is the budget is done, and then we come back and do the final, whatever we do on the rates, November, December, and it goes into effect next year. So we do have a little time if we want to explore it.
Well, and you know, I think Paul's on the, you know, on the right track. You know, we should probably, you know, some meeting in the future, I mean, I agree with Craig, I mean, we can approve the budgets and stuff and go ahead and then we can look at the rate. We'd have to do that, you know, by ordinance.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it would be helpful for us to get on all these segregated funds plus, you know, the general obligation. I mean, to get this, to pass those spreadsheets out so we can actually take a look at it.
Yeah,
so, we get a real handle on what all the debt is,
yeah,
what cuts
right
off,
here,
and,
yeah,
and how much more.
Yeah, the drop is between 2014 and 2015, and it's $14,000 principal and interest. Then it levels off, then it goes up, as Clara said, in 2019. So,
and why is that?
The
way the loan
structure
is structured.
Of the refinancing.
Yeah.
But we would be able to count on $14,000 less in principal and interest, not next year, but the following year. But
for 2 years, right? Or three?
Looks like about 3 years.
Yeah, 15, 16, and 17.
But then we would have to, let's say we do nothing, then we're going to run at another loss. Then we operate at another loss for next year.
Yeah. Then what happens?
We have a loss.
And we start saving money after that when the note retires.
Well, don't forget, though, that with the next capital project, you now have all the costs in there for all the debt service we have, but with the next capital project, there will be some debt service added.
That's in 2017.
Well, it'll show up in 2015. The money will be spent next year, and then you'll start paying debt, start paying on it the following year.
For the bonds that we haven't bonded for yet.
Yeah.
I wonder how that.
Yeah.